life and it is yours to take, and make it do whatever pleases and glorifies you. Help me to do your work here on earth, helping to bring every human back to the fold. Please keep me safe from Satan's hand. Please give me the strength and power to thwart him at every move. I am yours, Lord. I am yours. Please give me the strength to prove it every day.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee, swift and beautiful for thee. Take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer. Take my heart, it is thine own, it shall be thy royal throne, it shall be thy royal throne.
Amen. When we see the mad machinations of Satan in this world, it's very easy to fall into despair. Who are we to rail against the warring world powers when our personal influence can't be heard or seen through all the mayhem? It's frustrating, maddening. It makes you want to rail at the skies and curse out, lashing out at anything. Learn to give it to God. Learn that Jesus is there waiting for us to comfort us, to help us make sense of everything. At the very least, the comfort we find when praying to our Lord and Savior helps to blank out the strife. It helps us to make sense of our lives and our part in the workings of everything. Pray to Jesus. Take your sorrows and grief to the one who is willing to bear our burdens. Leave your grief and horror with him and chip away at Satan's works as we are able, as we can with the tools that God gives us.
Temptations. trouble that he
it is to choose Jesus over our pain.
All right, if you'd all say the responsive reading. Matthew 6, 5 through 15 with me, brothers and sisters. And when you pray, do not be like... And when you pray, do not be like... You got to go back. Back to... There we go. All right. From the top. And when you pray... Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. All right. Prayer belongs to God. When we pray, we are communicating. That's kind of like a... We are communicating with the creator of the universe. Diluting the prayer with thoughts of our self-importance or showmanship taints the act of prayer and takes away from the benefit of that prayer. Are we praying to ourselves? If we bow our heads in public, do we expect to see looks of approval on others' faces? Oh, there must be a man of God. Nope. Nope. God wants to have a conversation with us. He wants our undivided attention. He wants our prayers to be about him, not about our image. Remember, you don't have to bow your head to pray. The Lord's Prayer is a perfect example of what a prayer should encompass. Glory to God, hope for tomorrow, asking today's sustenance, both spiritual and physical, and acknowledgement of the gift that has been given to us, and reciprocity of the gift from us to our fellow man. Succor from evil and protection from Satan. Remember that God forgave us. And if we have the courage and strength to look real deep, our deepest and darkest sins are there awaiting forgiveness. Look deep inside. We ask, who are we to turn up our noses at those who have failed us? Jesus can help. Jesus can give up his life. If Jesus can give up his life and endure suffering for us, the least we can do is forgive our fellow man for any worldly transgressions.
If you've seen any of the pictures coming out of the Ukraine or any of the videos, there was a couple there that really I thought were fascinating. And one of them was a whole bunch of Ukrainians in the subway. And they were in the subway, and they're praying. I mean, there was no room. It was packed, and they were praying. And the question I have to ask is, why do we wait to the last minute to pray? Now, I'm not saying they did, but that tends to be our tendency here in America. We wait to the last minute to pray. You realize after 9/11, churches were packed for about 4 to 6 weeks. And then attendance went down because people had this notion that, you know, we're no longer safe anymore. The seas don't protect us. So I'm going to go out and just do what I want. You know, it's amazing how we have to admit our own fickleness, our own sinfulness. And I wonder how much more prepared we would be for life if we prayed. Is that a fair statement to make? If we prayed. So to see the Ukrainians down in the subway praying, I mean, that's what they should have been doing. They were praying. And we should be praying here in America. And we have to get our attitude straight, that we have this attitude that, you know, it's not here, so it doesn't affect me. Well, have you been to the gas pump? We really have to take this seriously. So we're going to spend just a few moments praying for the people in Ukraine. Listen, the bravery of these people is incredible. Incredible. You have 18-year-olds they were supposed to be 65, but there are 70, 80-year-old men fighting for their freedom. Right? And for the president, you know, most presidents would have been on a helicopter, you know, out of there. And this guy is fighting with his people. So there's a lot here. And that's not to say Ukraine is a perfect country, but that is to say freedom is valuable. So let's pray. Father, I think all of our hearts break when we see the atrocities that are happening at the hands of Russia with the Ukrainian people. This attack was unprovoked. This attack was merely to satisfy the hunger for wealth and territory on the part of a dictator. Father, we pray for the Ukrainian people, many of whom now have lost sons, fathers, grandfathers, as they chose to stay and defend their country. And Father, for there's people being shot in the streets by Russian troops, women being violated and then shot. And Father, these things are unspeakable. But this is evil. I ask, Father, and this may sound funny, but I ask that you change the heart of Putin, that he might come to know Jesus and stop this. And Father, I pray for the Ukrainian people that they, through this devastation, may see Jesus ready to embrace them and love them. Thank you for Samaritan's Purse, who at great risk went to set up a hospital in the Ukraine. Thank you for the men and women of Christ, Father, who volunteer and go to show the love of Christ. Protect them. Father, I'm praying for no more bloodshed. So, Father, we just lay this situation at your feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm not going to forget the offering this week like I did last week. So can I have a couple of men come up and we'll pray before the offering? Well, it doesn't have to be men. It could be women, you know. So, you know, did you ever see Everybody Loves Raymond? And, you know, that's the old, it's really a good depiction of a typical Italian family, right? And the father, Raymond's father, you know, typically says, you know, my wife does what I want her to do. And Marie responds and says, you know, the wife is the neck, because the neck turns the head. And the head does what the neck wants. So she's saying, get over yourself, right? Get over yourself. So women can come up and be ushers and help minister too. Let's pray. Father, would you bless this offering? Thank you for the generosity of this congregation. Thank you, Father, that as you work in and through them, you have provided for us every step of the way. And Father, today as we look through the admonition to pray, I just ask, Father, that your Spirit would open our hearts to show us how not only important, but how powerful prayer is. And so, Father, bless this time and bless the offering in Jesus' name. Amen. As we get ready to look into Colossians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, I'm not sure if we'll get through the whole thing today. But, you know, I mentioned the prices at the gas pumps before. And I'll hear people say, you know, boy, if gas comes too expensive, you know, we're not going to be able to afford it, can't go places to, you know, where we go and all. But you realize what the world is gearing up for is a battle over oil. You realize that? Because oil is such a resource necessary for energy. It's necessary for gasoline, for kerosene, power plants. Some power plants are generated by oil, coal, and fossil fuel. Plus, one of the byproducts of oil is natural gas, right? It's not beans or anything like that. It's natural gas. However, saying that, understand this, that the mentality of the world suggests that those who have the oil have the power. Isn't that true? Armageddon is going to be centered around oil and Israel. Those who have the oil have the power. But we forget one thing. God has the power. God has the power. And as born-again believers, we forget that. It's so easy to watch the news and get sucked into all of this and lose perspective. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be informed and we should be unconcerned, but we have to realize that for the church, especially for churches that uphold the gospel and good Christian theology, we have powerful opportunities to make a difference. I want to underline that, powerful opportunities. I want to suggest to you that prayer, biblical prayer, is more powerful than the biggest atomic bomb. It's more powerful than Vladimir Putin. It's more powerful than Washington, D.C. And I would suggest to you that prayer is probably one of the greatest ignored privileges that we have as born-again Christians. Now, when I talk about prayer, I'm talking about both corporate and individual. Do you realize in this country, the last surveys saw, and the surveys have been delayed because a lot of churches have been closed for COVID. But in the last survey I saw, the average pastor prays maybe 2 times a week. Pastors. The average congregant maybe once a week. The average congregant generally doesn't open their Bible until the following Sunday. Listen, there are three powerful graces, if I could put it that way, that God gives to us where the church can make a difference. Here they are. The Word of God, worship, corporate worship, and prayer. You can't separate prayer from the Word of God. How do you know what to pray for? Well, you pray according to the Word of God, correct? Listen, it's been well said that prayer is not to change God's mind, but it's to let God bring our minds into His will, right? Too many times we go to prayer and we say, oh, you know, maybe we can change God's mind on this. How arrogant of us, right? Thinking we can change God's mind. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't ask for petitions and others, but prayer is very specific. When Jesus says, when you pray, pray in the will of God. How do we know the will of God? Through His Word, right? Through His Word. You don't know it through TV preachers. You don't know it through, these gimmicks you see on television by getting the special water that's going to give you blessings or handkerchiefs or anything. Listen, prayer is work. It's work. When you pray, it's work, or it ought to be work. And I'm not saying it's work in the sense that it's toil, but prayer demands what? Time, effort, and it demands that we listen to God for the answer. And you know what the last demand is? That when God reveals His will to us, we obey. We obey by faith. If the Church of America is going to survive what COVID did to it, and it's going to survive its own complacency, nothing is going to happen without prayer. Nothing. Prayer ought to be part of praying for pastors, for the message, for the worship, for ministries. Nothing effective happens in any ministry without prayer. You know what happens? We in America have substituted programs for prayer. We substitute programs for prayer. We take God out of the equation. We're saying this program is the answer. No, God is the answer, and prayer should empower every aspect of our ministry. If you were here early enough, you would have seen the praise team praying together before the service to empower the ministry. It's not about them. It's about God, right? Right? Diego with the Spanish ministry, he's a man of prayer. He prays every week. God, let your will be done here. We should do that. I pray for men's group all the time. I pray for services all the time. When I'm here, I know where most of you sit because most of you don't like change, okay? So I know where most of you sit, and I pray for everyone that God, you know, work in the hearts. It's not about me. You know, many times, and you're used to me now. A lot of you guys have been with me for many years. But I will always tell you, please, don't tell me it was a good sermon. Tell me if God impacted your heart. Me, you know, I can stand up here and preach nonsense, and it could be a good sermon. Maybe not theologically good, but a good sermon. But when God in the Holy Spirit and is at work, he will start to change hearts from the inside out. The reason why I chose the model prayer, and Chip did a great job on it, breaking it down, is to show you that Jesus gave that. It's a beautiful prayer, isn't it? But he gave it as a model to say when we come to the Father as born-again believers, we are to honor the Father and adore him. This is talking about corporate prayer. Okay? Our Father. Well, thank God we have a Father who's perfect. He's perfect in all he does. He's perfect in his love for us. He's perfect in his discipline for us. His discipline is not like ours sometimes. Sometimes our discipline is much worse than what God does, only because some of us let the anger get a hold of us, right? God disciplines those he loves, not to break them, but to restore them and bring them back. And so, you know, we adore the Father. Why do we adore him? He's in heaven. He's the creator. Our Father who art where? In heaven, right? And, you think about this, And the shame of it is this prayer has become so memorized and so routine, I think we lose the meaning of it. He's the creator. We're the creature. He's holy. We're not. And the writer of Hebrews says we can come boldly before the throne of grace. And the only reason why we can do that is because of the personal work of Jesus Christ. And if you remember, the veil between the Holy of Holies and the holy place was ripped from the top down. So Jesus, the language actually is that Jesus escorts us into the presence of the Father. Not based on my merit, but based on his merit. And we can come boldly before the throne of grace. A man by the name of Albert Edward Day wrote this: the function of prayer is to set God at the center of attention. Not ourselves, not anything else, but to set God at the center of attention. Charles Stanley wrote this: every time we pray to God seeking his will, there are two things he wants to show us. He wants to show himself who he is. Isn't that great? Have you ever had prayer time where you're just speechless because you know you're in the presence of God? And you don't have to say a word. Romans says that the Holy Spirit will pray when we don't know what to pray. Then he goes on to say, he wants to show us what he's able to do. Is there anything better than seeking God and knowing the power of prayer? Paul writes in Ephesians, now to him who is able to do exceedingly more than you could ever imagine or think, to him be the glory. Exceedingly more. Man. And you know why we don't see that? Because we're not praying. And it's not to say God's going to answer our prayer the way we want. He's going to answer it perfectly the way he wants. But when he brings the answer, we're going to know it's in his will. We're going to know it's in his will. I believe that when we seek God's will in prayer, we begin to align our wills with God's will. The result of seeking God in prayer gives us power through the Word and the Holy Spirit to defeat Satan and his lies. Satan wants to sideline you. An unbeliever is no threat to Satan. Doesn't bother unbelievers. But for born-again Christians, for Christ followers, he wants to sideline you. And he'll do it with lies and deceit. Nothing of any significance will happen to advance the kingdom of God without heartfelt prayer that seeks him and his will. I think I've told you this story, but it bears repeating. Dr. Robert Cook, when he was in the pastorate, he had a woman with severe Meniere's disease. You know what Meniere's is? It's vertigo, but it never goes away, all right? And she was bedridden. So she was a congregant of his church, and he went to see her one day, and she started crying. You know, and she said, Pastor, you know, I feel useless. And he said to her, I want to ask you a question. When people need prayer, who do they go to? Me or you? And he said, be honest. And she said, well, a lot of them come to me. And he said, and when you pray, do you see answers? And she says, absolutely. And Dr. Cook said to her, from a bed from which you cannot rise, prayer rises and is effective for the kingdom of God. Huh. The power of prayer. If you ever want to read a great book, Jim Cimbala, A Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, and he talks about the power of prayer. I would encourage you to read it. You guys know by now, Brooklyn Tabernacle is a large church that meets in Brooklyn, Flatbush, and has an incredible ministry. They have what's called a 24-hour prayer band, and it's not musical, okay? It's people who volunteer to pray for the ministries and for the pastoral staff and for the message and the prayer meeting all week long. Plus, there's a team that prays during each service. There's three services. During each service, that building is never without prayer. And great things happen. And Jim Cimbala doesn't take any of the credit for it. Brooklyn Tabernacle takes no credit for it. It's all of God. And the times we've been there, Nancy has come with us, and several of you, I made it a point, I think I've been there three or four times, I made it a point to ask people around me, I said, are you a member here? And if they said yes, then I would ask them the following question. What's the most important meeting this church has? Every one of them, without exception, said prayer meeting. Not the worship service, prayer meeting. And I said, why is that? He says, because when we pray, we see God's hand. Their prayer meeting, their doors open at 5 o'clock on a Tuesday night. By 6 o'clock, they can't fit anybody else. And this is an auditorium that holds 6,000 people. They can't fit anybody else. And they do prayer meeting a lot like we do. They'll do some singing, you know, they'll pray for certain things. How many of you are aware of the ministry of, David Jeremiah? All right? He's a good preacher, good theologian, by the way. David Jeremiah, some years ago, was diagnosed with cancer. And he called Jim Cimbala and said, can I come out to New York? He's in California, right? Can I come out to New York and come to one of your services? I need to be prayed over because I just found out I have cancer. And Jim Cimbala says, well, we'll pray for you, but you don't have to come out here. And he says, I want to come out because when your church prays, things happen. Things happen. So he came out and they prayed over him. And it was God's will that he's been fine ever since. You know? And sometimes it's not God's will. But he sensed the need to call and say, can I come? Listen. I know we're not going to get very far in this today, but it's very important. Look at the first couple of verses of this. Devote yourselves to what? This is Paul speaking to the church. Devote yourselves to prayer. Does anybody want to take a shot? Tell me what it means to devote yourself. What does it mean? Okay. All right. All right, let me give you a little bit more information, okay? When a husband and wife take vows, they're devoting themselves one to another. Entirely. The word devote here means to devote yourself entirely with intense passion and heart to prayer. Especially during difficult times. But not just difficult times. And the verb here in the original language, it's called a present imperative. It's a command. And the reason why the tense is important, it says, if I were to translate this literally, it says, be devoted and continue to be devoted to prayer. Now, we can come to prayer even with a bad attitude, right? Can't we? And the next line takes care of that. Be devoted, you know, devote yourselves to prayer, being what? Watchful and thankful. What does that mean? What do you think that means? I hear mumbling. I don't have my hearing aid today, so. Okay. Let me connect some dots. You're right. Let me connect some dots here. When Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration. Do you remember what happened with the disciples in that encounter? They fell asleep. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he took some of his disciples with him. Three times he asked them to stay awake, and they fell asleep. That's not being watchful. Watchful means you give this your utmost attention. So when you pray, turn the television off. Jesus says, go into your room and close the door. Americans especially are easily distracted. You find that? How many of you, when you're home, you may be alone or whatever, need the television on? Right? We don't know what it is to wait on God and be quiet anymore. The psalmist says, be still and know I am God. Turn off the cell phones. Turn off the computers. When you have time to pray, concentrate and be watchful. And pray with your heart, your mind, and your will, your whole person. And here's the capper of the attitude. Be thankful. Be thankful. Listen, I'm fearing these days that when we come to God, we come to him too many times as, how can I say, as the person we want to punish others. All right? And that's just not right. All right? God says, vengeance is mine. I'll take care of the wrongdoers. Concentrate on being watchful in prayer and thankful. Doesn't mean we can't pray what's honestly on our heart. That's fine to do. Nobody likes evil. But at the same token, we forget how evil we are. It's always easier to find somebody who's worse than you. True? Well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, you know. Well, yeah, you are, you know. But we rarely look to people who are better than us because of pride. We can't do that. We need to be watchful and thankful. Listen, God is God. And, you know, Jesus says the Father already knows your prayer. But he doesn't say don't pray. He says when you pray, say this. I'm going to leave you with one thought, and we're going to close there and go to the communion table, and we'll pick up on this next week. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What does that mean, hallowed be thy name?
Worship.
Yeah, worship. I mean, he's perfectly holy. Hallowed means holy, okay? His name is holy. Implicit in that prayer, if we pray that prayer, that's saying, Lord, I know you're holy, I'm not. Help me to be holy through your word and your Holy Spirit. Then he follows that with, thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. You pray that prayer, you better be willing to listen to the voice of God. You better be ready to listen to the scriptures and the Holy Spirit. Because that demands that we totally give our allegiance to God and do his will. Because we want to do his will, just like it's done in heaven. Does that make sense? Okay? You know, too many times we skip over these prayers and because they come routine and rote. Here's the last thing I'm going to leave you with. And I know some of you aren't able to be here on Tuesday mornings. But if you can come, please come. Corporate prayer is so necessary today. It's more necessary now than it was before. Not primarily because of what's going on in the world, but primarily because the Church of North America is asleep. And we got to wake up. We really have to wake up. So, I'm asking if you can make the sacrifice to come. I promise you I won't be as boring as I could be in prayer meeting. You know, we do some singing, we look at a text, and then we pray. You need to be here. I'm glad for the men that we have on Tuesday nights, because we get into deep theology, and that's the way we grow. Prayer and discipleship takes effort and sacrifice. What did Jesus say to people who wanted to follow him? Take up your cross and follow me. That's the mark of a disciple. Starts with prayer. What do we have coming up? We have things are a little bit quiet now from now until Easter, but we're doing a sunrise service again this year at Bayfront Park. What about starting to pray that there would be walkers out that morning and they would join us in the park? They did a couple of years ago, if you remember. They just were walking and they came into the gazebo and joined the service. How great. They heard the gospel, right? Pray for that. Pray for the services coming up. I'd like to do another baptismal service somewhere. We started talking about doing some joint service again with Toms River Community Church. And these are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not the only church in town, right? We're just part of a local body of believers. We need to pray for one another. Every church is under attack. Every Bible-believing church is under attack. And the only weapon we have is prayer. Prayer will sustain us. Prayer will empower us to do the right thing. Amen? We're going to end there today and come around the Lord's table. And we'll pick it up next week. The Lord's table is a place where you and I have the option of coming before Christ, who's the head of the table. It's his table. And we can honestly come before him and bare our soul. We can come before him and examine our hearts. Let the Holy Spirit examine our hearts. Let the Word of God examine our hearts. And we need to specifically confess any sin we need to confess. The only requirement is that you're a born-again believer. That's the only requirement. You don't have to be a member or anything else. And remember what Paul said. When you come to the Lord's table, we have to have the right attitudes. You know what that is? Watchfulness and thanksgiving. In the Catholic Church, they have the Eucharist, right? You know what the term Eucharist means? Thanksgiving. That's what it means. So let's, before we distribute the elements, let's just take time to examine ourselves. Please take the wafer, the bread, and hold it, and we'll partake together.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that who shall ever believe in him should have eternal life. Isn't that great? came for the sin of the world. But it's up to us to receive the gift of forgiveness that he won for us on the cross of Calvary by faith alone. His body was broken on a cross. Paul says that in his instructions to the Corinthians. It was broken for us. If you were the only person on the face of this earth, Jesus still would have come to die for you. That's remarkable. Paul says that the bread is a symbol of his broken body. Now, you know we're coming up to Easter. I forgot my phone. We're coming up to Easter, and, you know, you may see the Passion of the Christ on television or one of the accounts of the gospel. Listen, the scripture says that Jesus was unrecognizable after all the beatings and the whippings. This is a symbol of his body, which was broken for me and you. Would you take, eat, and remember him? Later on in chapter 3 of the book of John, John says to Nicodemus, who was a religious expert, right? In order to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. You must be, and Nicodemus somehow doesn't get it. He should have known it because he was a student of the scriptures, but he didn't get it, and he would say, oh, he said, Jesus, that's ridiculous. How can I go back into my mother's womb? And Jesus says, you don't get it. You need to be born from above with the Holy Spirit and with water. It's an amazing statement when you think about it. Being born again is a supernatural miracle that you and I experience by faith alone in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We don't deserve it. And he offers forgiveness to us, new life, new purpose. And he makes an agreement with us. It's a new covenant that he calls it. And the covenant, thankfully, is all based on him, not us. It's a covenant of grace. And he says, I shall never leave you or forsake you. When you drink the wine, do this in remembrance of him.
Pardon for sin and a peace that
we're going to wait upon you now for the
thine own dear
benevolence fund offering, if you're able to give.
Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000s beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness again, great.
Before we do our last song, I just want to let you know, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior by faith, you're a walking miracle. You're a walking miracle. The new birth is a miracle. Some of you have experienced miracles physically, some of you spiritually, some of you both. God is awesome. Amen?
Amen.
He's awesome. I want to just pray before we close with the last song. And Nancy has a long trip back to Virginia. 6 hours, right?
Six and a half if I don't get lost.
six and a half if she doesn't get lost.
I got lost on the way here for
8 hours. Okay. I would just pray for journey mercies for Nancy and that she makes her way back next week. No, I'm only kidding. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our sister who's here today. It's so good to see her. And Father, she has a long journey back. We ask that you give her journey mercies, protect her, provide for her. And Father, when it's your will again, we look forward to seeing her again. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand, please, if you're able? I really included this song because of the communion table. It's a place of confession where we can start fresh and anew. So the prayer is, Lord, give us clean hands and give us clean hearts. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing it's been for us to be here today. I thank you, Father, for the worship we've had, for the prayer, for the message of the word, and for the time around the Lord's table. Father, I pray you bless each one here. I pray, Father, that in the coming days, your Spirit would help us to be Christ to others and invite people out to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. Send us away in the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said?
Amen.
That was kind of weak. Hey. All God's people said?
Amen.
That's better. Have a great lunch.